I just want to remind you guys, we still are doing that Michael Crabtree jersey giveaway because we love you guys who listen and you enjoy the show each week. So we've got an end of season giveaway, an autographed certified Michael Crabtree jersey from Pristine Auction. They've been a great partner to the podcast this year, giving us some great prizes to give away. And winning this jersey is easy. All you have to do is leave a nice review if we've helped you this year on iTunes or wherever you listen. Take a screenshot. Email that screenshot with your name to us, sleeperwire@gmail.com. We'll pick a random winner from everyone who enters through the Super Bowl for the Crabtree Autograph Certified Jersey.
Sleeper Wire, the only fantasy football radio show with more than a dozen multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Dash Talk.
Welcome to the Sleeper Wire show. Today is December 12, 2017. I'm your host, producer Steve, and with me today, I got my statistician genius, Professor Chris, and we welcome back Nick to the Monday show, filling in for Max today. I am excited to get into this week 14 recap. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. That's what I like to say. And week 14 brought us some major injuries, a couple of duds and some real studs. So if you made it through to week 15, good for you. Today we're going to look at the week 14 games. We're going to break down the performances. We're going to talk waiver wire replacements for the guys you might be missing. Go over some safe starts, some risky moves, and get you ready to grind out another win in week 15. Let's get started. All right, Professor Chris, Nick, I almost said Max there. So used to doing the show with Max.
Wow.
Sorry. Wow. I will have to really watch myself on that one.
You know what, Steve? That third chair is really just interchangeable. We can throw anyone in there.
The only thing is we just got to take another, like, one of those bathroom seat cover things. Just got to replace that. That's all we really got to do each week.
Listen, you know what, guys? If you want to wait a couple more hours to do this show with Hoos, I'll be fine. I can leave right now.
I don't know if we got time for that. We got a ton of games to go through. This Thursday night game, the Falcons beat the Saints 20-17. The big story on this one was the Kamara injury, which I think might have really damaged some people's playoff games this week. He left the game early, and after that, the Saints just didn't look the same. Only 3 out of 10 first downs without him. A couple of other injuries, Kenny Vaccaro and Trey Hendrickson on defense. And that left guard, Clemente, went out as well. So I want to ask you guys, coming up with the Jets and the Falcons for the Saints, you got any concerns about this offense? I'm hoping that Kamara comes back, but other than that, is it all systems go for them?
Yeah, I think you still have to start every Saint.
Yeah, I mean, this Jets team really isn't a scary matchup for what the Saints have been able to do. And Kamara looks like he should be on pace to be back in this game, especially with the extra few days from playing on the Thursday night game.
Yeah, I think so, too. We hope he comes back healthy because he is a huge part of that team. The Falcons on the other side, I don't know really how they won this game. Matt Ryan played horribly, 3 interceptions this game and only 1 touchdown. Julio Jones had a decent game, and Freeman had a good game. But they faced the Bucs and the Saints coming up, both road games. Do you have any concerns about Matt Ryan if people are running and starting him every week? I'm a little concerned about running him out there.
I don't have any concern about running him out there against the Bucs.
I have to say, I mean, if you've been running out Matt Ryan every week in your lineup this season, there's probably a good chance you're not even in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean,
possible.
Matt Ryan really hasn't been putting up the numbers he did last year. He's not even coming close.
This is certainly not an MVP season.
But the weird thing is, like, the skill players are still producing for you in fantasy. So, I mean, you can trust those guys, but Ryan is the real question mark, and it's weird because you'd think he'd be safe when you see Sanu and Freeman and Jones having good games.
Do you guys know how many 3 touchdown games Matt Ryan has this season?
I'm going to guess 2.
I'm going to say 1.
2 and 1. All right. Well, it is 0.
What, are you kidding me?
And he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games of 3 or 4 touchdowns last year.
Right.
None this year.
Jeez Louise.
And the other thing is, too, shocking. I mean, when we really look at it, Julio really hasn't been having that good of a year.
No.
It is a pretty down year for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're 8-5, so they're still in contention for that division and possibly a wild card. You got to believe they're going to still play. But that team, I don't know, they just haven't looked right lately. I'm a little concerned about them. But the Chiefs and the Raiders, the Chiefs 26, Raiders 15. So the big question is, did the Chiefs actually fix what was going on with that team? We saw Kareem Hunt have a great game, or did they just take advantage of a bad Raiders team? Can we expect more of the same Chiefs next week against the Chargers in a very difficult divisional matchup?
You cannot expect the same thing through the air. Now, granted, they didn't have any passing touchdowns, but Kelce 7-74, Tyreek Hill 4-75. I think points and yards are going to be hard to come by when it comes to that Chargers secondary.
I somewhat agree, but at the same time, I mean, let's not forget what they did against the Chargers earlier this season. I mean, Kareem Hunt had a huge game. The team was doing fairly well. That's when they were in their month of, you know, terror as an offense. So I think this is a pretty good matchup. It's division rivalry. I never like to try to look at stats of how the team is doing generally, except for I do like to look at maybe what they're doing against the division as a whole. But I think Tyreek Hill will have a big game just because it seems like every other game he has his huge game of 30-plus points. So I think we could see that this Saturday.
That's my concern. I mean, people were saying their secondary is good. You can run on them. They showed, I think, you couldn't run on them as easily this week. And I'm worried that team is so hot right now. If they go out to an early lead, my concern is with Hunt. Because it seems like when the Chiefs fall behind, they abandon that run game. And you see Hunt with 8 to 11 carries. And those are the kind of games where he was killing people in fantasy. So you guys have no trepidation on Hunt at all? That was a big word.
Chargers defense, yeah, Mr. SAT over here.
Yeah.
Chargers defense is weak against the run.
Okay.
It's weak against the run. I'm not in the collective universe now that Kareem Hunt has had one really big good game since in the last, you know, 7 weeks that we're back to trusting him. There's still guys that I like over.
That's what I'm saying.
I am back trusting him.
I'm in Nick's camp here because there's going to be guys that have, we have questions on this week in the mail sack and on the blitz. Can you trust Hunt over guys like, you know, Jamal Williams and Alex Collins who have been consistently doing well, whereas Hunt just had that one good game right now and all that history. You can't forget that history of the season. So this is what I'm going to have to look at. Let's see. Derek Carr on the Oakland side didn't play well. Didn't see receivers downfield. Just not good at all. The Raiders face the Cowboys next week who are playing well, and then the Eagles. I'm not sure I can trust Derek Carr at all, and I'm not sure I can trust Crabtree at this point. This team is failing miserably. Are you guys still starting these two?
You know, I still think you can start Crabtree, but I don't think you can start Carr anymore.
I don't know if people have the luxury of having better options than Derek Carr at this point.
Well, let me look at a team that I have right now. So this is a 12-team PPR. I've got Derek Carr, and I lost this week first round of the playoffs by 5.4. So just one touchdown more from Derek Carr would have had it. Granted, the other guy had Devontae Adams, but still. Mm-hmm. So some waiver wire guys, Ben Roethlisberger, home against New England and then against the Texans week 16. Andy Dalton, Case Keenum, Jameis Winston. That's about it.
You're going to have to burn a lot of fab dollars to get Roethlisberger after the week he had. It's going to be a hard one to grab on waivers. But
first QB in NFL history with 3 games of over 500 passing yards.
I can't believe Ben Roethlisberger's on your waivers.
That's shocking. I
was pretty surprised about that, too. Actually, you know what it is? I think someone picked him up. He was picked up on waivers last week, but they dropped him on Saturday. I think they were doing that thing where you keep a quarterback away from a opponent.
Yeah, but the person who initially dropped him, I mean, I understand he had a stretch of some pretty bad games, but still, it's Ben Roethlisberger.
You know, I dropped him in a league earlier this season.
Thanks.
Yeah, he had, what was it, a stretch of like 4 straight games that were just terrible.
Very true. I mean, there was a time we really couldn't start Roethlisberger, but at the same time, you had to figure that, you know, it had to correct itself with when you have Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown going on your offense.
Yep, and he's been very good for the last 5 weeks and exceptional for 3 of those 5.
Right.
So, yeah, so I will – that's going to be what I put my waiver claim in for because I will play him at home against New England, and I think I'm okay with playing him, even though it's on the road, against Houston, because Houston secondary.
Exactly.
Yeah, Big Ben, he is going to definitely be my first choice, but I do not think I'm very high on the waiver wire party right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to the Bills and Colts. This was a good one. Professor Chris, obviously we go to you on the Colts games, the Bills 13, Colts 7. We were getting pictures of the field conditions during the blitz on Sunday. It was 6 inches of snow, straight up blizzard with gusty winds. You thought it'd be a running game. McCoy took advantage, ran in the snow like he did in that Eagles game a couple years ago. He just went bananas. Chris, did you see anything of value in this game from either team that you feel good about? Any fantasy value in these teams left?
Well, yeah, I think Jack Doyle for sure, because even in 6+ inches of snow in a blizzard, he's still catching touchdowns from Brissett. I do want to make a correction. You said the score was 13-7, and actually the Colts won this game 8-7.
What?
So
living in the past.
8-7. No, they scored with a minute 16 left. Touchdown to Doyle.
I saw the
for people who didn't see it. Came in, decided to go for a 2-point conversion because an extra point, 33-yard field goal, would have been nearly impossible in this wind. So, and Adam Vinatieri missed 2 field goals. But yeah, so then 2-point conversion to Doyle, wide open. And they called one of the worst offensive pass interferences on a guy who wasn't even part of the play that I've ever seen. And the flag was at least 30 seconds after the play was over. So, no, it was bullshit. It really
no,
was.
I know.
Yeah.
I saw it too. It wasn't the right call.
Right. Nobody I've seen on social media has agreed with it. The announcers were like, well, this is just wrong, blah, blah, blah. So it was 8-7 Colts, so a good victory for them. anyway.
However, I will say, as a LeSean McCoy owner, I'm very happy that happened.
I played Frank Gore against Dirty Jobs this week because I felt like it was going to be a running game, and the old man still has it.
Wow, did he ever. 36 carries. Just a workhorse. Right. Now, listen, the Peterman came in, obviously, with Tyrod out, and he got concussed. So if he doesn't play next week, and we're basically working our way through the Bills' step chart on quarterback, if Webb starts, are you feeling okay about Benjamin still? I mean, he kind of banged up his knee, and that was the issue earlier, that he had an injury. Is he a risk that you just can't take?
Don't play him.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no reason you should have been playing Kelvin Benjamin at this point anyway. The name is nice, but he really hasn't done anything to warrant, he's a must start.
And I would feel a whole lot better, 3-for-38 and a touchdown in the snow. That's actually pretty great when he did that with Peterman, but at the same time, he hurt his knee and left the game. He did come back in, but he just re-aggravated that same knee. So I don't think he's worth even like debating on playing this week, unless you're just in a severe, like desperate situation. But yeah, it's just not looking good. I don't trust the knee.
No.
If he hadn't injured the knee, I would say he's an okay start, maybe.
Okay start, maybe.
Yeah.
If you have to choose between Kelvin Benjamin and somebody, send us your question. We'll answer it then, but we ain't going to get into it here.
T.Y. Hilton actually 2-for-20, which was a bad fantasy game, but he got both of those in the fourth quarter, and he was getting more targets. He's the best weapon that they have. I just don't understand why they weren't throwing the ball more. I know why they didn't throw it a lot, but the Colts didn't attempt a pass until, I think, the third quarter.
Yeah,
I think the combination of the snow and the game being so close and things being slippery and messy out there, I think that's why we didn't see a lot of passing.
Right, it was absolutely a factor of the weather, but he's still the best weapon, so you should try to hit him on a slant route occasionally.
Well, we're talking about Jacoby Brissett here, I mean, to be fair.
Yeah, I get that. Someone who holds the ball far too long.
Absolutely.
Been sacked more times in the NFL, it's because he doesn't throw the damn ball.
Mm-mm.
I want to touch on Frank Gore. Great game from him. Broncos and Ravens next up. Still starting him, confidence, Professor Chris, or does he need a blizzard to be good?
He needs a blizzard to be good.
Okay.
Yep.
I am not starting it with confidence against the Broncos or the Ravens.
All right.
Probably not going to recommend him over many players either. This was purely because I knew he was going to get the work, and the defense was going to be slipping all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah, the game script was just there for for this type of production.
Yep, don't play him next week.
I feel the same way about Hilton. Like, if there's a guy on waivers that I really want to grab who has potential upside and I need, you know, an explosive player, I'd be okay with dropping Hilton or Gore at this point. I think with that upcoming schedule, I feel better about grabbing somebody else. The Lions defeated the Buccaneers in a long, sloppy game. A lot of penalties, a lot of Bucs-style football. We've seen it a lot this year, unfocused, unprepared, just not really doing what we expected from a team with so many weapons and Jameis Winston. Although he had a pretty decent game, but a couple of turnovers really hurt him. And Mike Evans, geez, where did he go this year? And Cameron Brate, where did he go? And DeSean Jackson, where did he go? What happened with this team that they could not beat the Lions? They had a lot of opportunities to. I don't know about the next couple of games, a tough game against the Falcons and then the Panthers. How good do you feel about any of these Buccaneers players this upcoming weeks here, guys?
You know, we said on the Sunday Blitz that you got to start Mike Evans. And obviously that didn't work out, but I still think that's true. Now, we also said you got to start Cameron Brate with Winston. I don't think that's necessarily true.
Yeah, I'm doing the back pedal on the Cameron Brate thing, guys. I mean, I know we gave out that advice pretty hard last week. I'm regretting that one. But to make it fair, I mean, I did take my own advice. I started Cameron Brate, too, so I know how much it hurts, just like the rest of you. But in regards to Mike Evans, man, this is one of those instances where you know the name, you know what he can do, and he's getting the targets. I mean, it's not like the targets haven't really been there. Yeah, this past week was 5. So, yeah, 10, 12, 6, 5 have been his targets for the last 4 weeks. And, you know, so, I mean, the targets have gone down a bit. But you got to think, I mean, who's their next opponent next week?
Falcons.
You got to think that's a competitive game. I think this is one where Mike Evans can get back in it.
All right.
We just saw Michael Thomas go off. I think this is where they write the ship.
Doug Martin and Peyton Barber. Barber's looking a lot better than Doug Martin, but Doug Martin got the touchdown. I really wish they'd just say, okay, enough of Doug Martin. Let's just see what we got in Barber. I don't know if you can trust either of these guys with a start with championship, you know, semifinals on the line next week. Do you guys feel good about either of them?
No.
Okay. I hate to talk crap about all these guys, but it's hard with these guys. but in the Lions camp, I want to definitely get on Eric Ebron. 10 catches, 94 yards, the GOAT, the MVP, Hall of Famer, hold my beer, Tony Gonzalez, Eric Ebron, huge stud, top waiver pick this week, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. No, but seriously, Theo Riddick had a great game, and Max was talking him up last week. And I have a feeling that it's going to be more Theo Riddick. I don't think that team wants to continue with Ameer Abdullah, and they're in the playoff hunt. I think they're going to go with what's working. And so I think Theo Riddick makes a great waiver ad right now. What do you think?
100%.
Yep. Yeah, you got to go out and grab Theo Riddick if he's out there. He's going to get the targets in the passing game. He's going to get the runs. Forget these cute names like Teon Green and whatever. Sure, they might
cute
get worked
name,
in.
That's his actual name.
Well, you know, what I mean
Teon is, and Theo sound pretty similar.
What I meant is, like, don't get cute in these playoffs, you know, with these kind of guys that are getting some talk, because this guy isn't going to do what Theo Riddick will do, is all I mean. You know, I meant don't get cute in your playoff lineups.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people on the Blitz asking should they start him over, you know, guys like Doug Martin and Orleans Darkwa and around there. They're just trying to chase the points on the one touchdown he got in week 13, and he had 5 rushes for 15 yards this week.
Like, there's going to be a guy we're going to be talking about soon, Rod Smith, that I want to talk about later, because, yeah, that could be an example of chasing the points.
Golden Tate had a game, though.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he always does. He's solid. He got the touchdown, which was nice. He doesn't normally score the touchdowns, but I think it showed that Stafford's a gamer. He's going to play through injuries. If you guys had to start Stafford or Winston next week, Stafford faces the Bears, Winston against the Falcons, who do you like more out of those two guys?
Stafford.
I like Stafford, but I wouldn't expect big points. I mean, yeah, I know I'm a Bears fan, but I'm also realistic when I say, I mean, Bears really haven't been allowing much in the passing game.
No, but I still like him more.
I think he's got more to play for. I think he's got more to play for at this point in the season. You know?
Yeah.
I like him a little bit more, too.
I think it'll be close between them, though. Yeah. Because I do like the matchup for Winston against the Falcons.
All right, it's Panthers and the Vikings. I think we thought this was going to be a pretty defensive game, maybe. But the Minnesota O-line had a couple injuries starting off. They didn't have their starting center. They lost the left tackle. And they didn't seem to be able to right the ship. Keenum had a decent day. Thielen dropped two touchdowns, which sucked, but had a decent day. I should say I'm not concerned next week about this team against the Bengals or the Packers because I think they're good to go. Do you guys feel good about everything on this team? I don't think this was like a scary, you know, foreboding thing for these guys. I think it's still a really good team, and I think they'll be fine. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Agree.
All right, no concern for them. But the Panthers, wow. Jonathan Stewart, what a day. Is he like... From
no, the answer to your droppable. Question is no.
No? Are you sure? 2 good weeks in a row now.
I'm going to say he's a flex option.
I do not think he's a flex option. I would say pick him up in case McCaffrey gets injured, but that's
But you
not...
don't have that luxury right now in playoffs, man. You got to put him in or don't even pick him up at all.
Why? You're supposed to be stashing handcuffs.
Yeah, but that's before you get to the playoffs. Now we're in it. We're in the thick of it, man.
Yeah, but why can't you still stash handcuffs?
I mean, I suppose you can, but at the same time, I think, listen, I mean, I'm not saying Stewart's top is going to be an RB1, but I'm saying as a flex option, I think you can plug him in. Like we've said, last couple weeks he's been really getting involved. And I'm not saying he's going to put up 3 touchdowns next week, but, I mean, Christian McCaffrey's been getting used less and less.
You guys heard it here first. Nick says Jonathan Stewart's going to put up 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
No, but I think you could talk about Jonathan Stewart in the same breath. You talk about like maybe Rod Smith or Kerwin Williams. Maybe these guys kind of in the same category.
I don't know.
But the thing is, he's been getting double targets. He's gotten double-digit carries, actually, every single week except for week 6. And hasn't really done anything outside of week 1 where he had 65 yards and a receiving touchdown as well. Then single digits all the way until week 13 when he had 10.5 because he rushed for a touchdown. Yeah, this week was an anomaly.
He was saving it up, man. He was saving it up for the playoff push.
Most likely, Chris saved that shit for 10 weeks.
Most likely, Chris is right. It's probably more of an anomaly this game.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that it obviously will depend on what options you have at flex, but if you're weak in that department, say you're relying on, I don't know,
DeMarco Murray.
DeMarco Murray at this point.
Yeah.
I would rather start Jonathan Stewart in my flex than DeMarco Murray.
I think I would too. If I made it through this week with DeMarco Murray not doing much, I think I might actually do that next week. I know the juicy matchup, but we'll get to that. Greg Olsen's still not 100%, so I think we said last week on this Thursday show, you got to wait till you see a Greg Olsen game before you feel good about putting him
in. That's what I said.
I know.
Nobody wants to listen to me, but I said do not start Greg Olsen because I doubt he's still 100%.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of limping off the field and stuff, too. He's not 100%. It's pretty obvious, so hold off on that. The Bears defeated the Bengals. And, Nick, since you're on the show, you get to talk about the Bears. They look like they wanted to play. They got young players. You know, they're trying to build toward next year. The Bengals look like they just kind of given up, as they usually do at the end of the season here. What did you like about the Bears game from their side, Nick?
Well, here's the thing. First off, I liked that the offense showed that, hey, we can have a real offense here if with the right play calling and situation. Now, everybody's been throwing around, oh, well, the Bengals were banged up. They had a lot of their key players out. You know what? Bears have a lot of banged up, a lot of issues with injuries and stuff, too. So I really don't want to hear that crap. I really don't. I'm tired of everybody just saying, oh, Bears are just a shit team and that they, they get lucky when they win games. I mean, they've beaten already 3 playoff teams this year. But aside from my rant, as far as this game is concerned, I think that what I liked is just they got the run game going, which allowed them to get the passing game going. And this is by far Trubisky's best game of the season, which that gave me as a Bears fan a sign of hope. But the Lions game, I'm assuring you, will be a tougher matchup, especially in Detroit. It was great to see Jordan Howard getting used. I'm sure people aren't using Tariq Cohen, but man, if you were, for whatever reason, you must have been upset with the amount of touchdowns that were called back by penalties and stupid crap. I mean, he had an opportunity to score 3 touchdowns. All were called back.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard, he is someone that we really that Mike and I really liked on the Blitz this week, and I'm glad it worked out. It was good to see him back, you know, doing Jordan Howard things, finally.
I want to talk about Trubisky, and I actually want to talk about Andy Dalton, too, because Andy Dalton didn't have a very good game. For people, let's break the seal, for people that lost Wentz this week, these two quarterbacks, you got Trubisky against the Lions and then the Browns, you got Dalton at the Vikings and then the Lions. Either of these quarterbacks you might consider picking up if you lost Wentz, streaming them for 1 week, maybe both weeks? See any value there?
I cannot say that because of this game that Trubisky is a guy that you can stream still.
Okay.
He has been really off all season, and which is, you know, expected. He's a rookie, and he's got John Fox as his head coach, calling plays and doing stupid things.
I'll say that if your choices are down to these two and you have to make a call, I would say Andy Dalton, but I don't like either guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Agreed.
The Packers had the must win, man, 27 to defeat the Browns 21. And we're expecting Aaron Rodgers, if all signs are good and the scans go well, to start next week against the Panthers. So
I am.
I want to know about the wide receivers. Obviously, you got to feel good about Nelson next week, feel a little bit better about Cobb, although he had a really good PPR day for, you know, what he's been doing. Does Davante Adams, who's been outstanding with Hundley, does he drop it all for you, or is he still a must-start when Rodgers comes back?
I don't think he's still a must-start.
Wow. Okay. Explain.
Well, Jordy is going to be better. He's got that rapport with Rodgers already. I still think Davante Adams is a good play, but I don't think he's a must-start.
I tend to disagree. I think Davante Adams was still getting the ball with Aaron Rodgers and with Jordy Nelson's production. It was Randall Cobb who you really couldn't start. I thought Davante Adams was a nice flex option. He's not the wide receiver one that he's been, but he's definitely a nice flex option. But I'd like to also add here, I'm not under the same umbrella of most people where, oh, Aaron Rodgers is coming back, this is the answer to all of our problems. I really think that people are going to be disappointed when they start Aaron Rodgers and he gets hit and then he's out for the rest of the game. Because I guarantee you that collarbone's not 100%.
There's a dark prognosis there.
I'm just saying people are going
to... He's saying that as a Bears fan.
No, I'm really not. I promise you. I'm not being, you know, jaded Bear fan. I'm being realistic because this was a broken collarbone. I'm sorry, but let's look at what happened to Tony Romo.
Yeah.
He had the broken collarbone, came back, was immediately re-injured it. How are we going to say that, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers looks good in practice? He's not wearing pads. He's not getting hit. How do we know he's that good? And if he does get hit, especially with a Panthers defense, Luke Kuechly gets a hand on him, or, you know, any of their other great defensive playmakers get a hand on him, get him sacked, hello, he could be re-injured and you could be stuck with zero for your quarterback. I'm not buying that Aaron Rodgers is a great play this week.
Okay.
I didn't say he was great.
No, but I think it's very risky to play him this week is what I mean. Like, I would look for a different option.
Oh, what if you lost Wentz?
Well, that might be a situation you were forced into, but I'd still look at the waivers and try to find something.
What about this? I have Derek Carr and Rodgers in the IR spot.
I hate Derek Carr, but I would almost consider starting him because he's at least healthier than Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
All right, we're going to talk about other quarterbacks. We can throw Rodgers into that conversation for Wentz replacements because there's other guys that are on the waivers that you may want to grab a hold of as they're kind of heating up here. But I just want to say Jamal Williams, I think he's earned the starting job. I think you start him every week. I'm not
he's
too
a must
concerned
start.
About Aaron Jones taking that job back or cutting into it too much, especially with Rodgers coming back. If he comes back, there's going to be a little readjustment time, shaking the rust off. I think they run the ball a lot next week. Let's see. Browns, Josh Gordon got a touchdown, so that saved him. Coleman turned back up on the stat sheet, which was nice to see. Crowell did good for you. But the Browns face the Ravens next week and then the Bears. Do they win a game at all this season or what?
Not the next 2 weeks, anyway.
Not the next 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah, the Bears are good at losing to teams like the 49ers, so maybe that's their one win.
Do you feel good about these offensive players, though? Coleman, Gordon, Crow, are they good for the next 2 weeks or what? You feel
Gordon, hard, right? Yes. Coleman, don't feel good about it. Crowell and Duke, no.
Okay. I think Duke you could still put in as a flex. I mean, especially
In a PPR.
Yeah, and a PPR flex. I mean, he's been pretty consistent throughout the season, turning in some good games. In regards to Gordon, man, I'm glad he got the touchdown because I did start him in my flex after consideration, but he disappeared after that first quarter. I did not like that at all.
Yeah, yeah. That was after Max and Dirty Jobs browbeat you into loving Josh Gordon.
I heard that. Oh, that was very true. I really wished I had like Chris on the show with me so that we could be like, calm down, guys.
Rational decision making here.
I actually voted in his direction a lot on the Blitz.
Wow.
Yeah. I was surprised at myself.
We've all come around, I think. Kizer might be a quarterback option for the Wentz owner. Not so much for me. I don't like him going against the Ravens or the Bears. So you feel the same way?
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. 49ers. Oh, God. Stupid Texans lost to the stupid 49ers. Stupid 49ers are destroying their draft value right now by winning these games. Garoppolo's another quarterback people might be looking at on the waivers for the Wentz replacement. He plays the Titans and then the Jags. I don't really like those two matchups. Do you see any value in Garoppolo for the next 2 weeks?
Two quarterback league. It's okay. Well, against the Titans, not against the Jags.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Garoppolo's matchup way better against the Titans than the Jags. But I don't know. It's exactly what I was talking about, like getting cute with your lineup to start Garoppolo, in my opinion. Unless, of course, you've had one of the quarterbacks that got injured this week. Maybe you're forced into that decision.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This,
like, if
Goodwin is a must start this week.
Yeah, Goodwin is. But I'm saying, like, for Garoppolo, he's going to be a must. Like, you're in desperation mode. You lost a quarterback. McCown, Wentz. Yep. Like, where does he fall in that option?
I think he's close to the top of all the waiver options, at least, out there. That should be out there at this point.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna revisit that at the end of the show. Just talk about quarterbacks real quick. But Garrett Celek, the tight end, touchdown, 67 yards. Waiver ad or just Mercedes value? Mercedes Lewis value.
Mercedes Lewis value.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like, wow, Garrett Celek still plays in the league. Awesome.
Right. All right.
And Brent Celek too.
Yeah. Right.
Did both the Celek brothers get touchdowns?
They both got touchdowns this week.
Yeah, and they are brothers, right?
Believe so.
They've got to be related.
I mean, maybe
the cousins.
How many people do you know named Celek? They have to be related,
right?
I actually had a student who had last name Celek one time.
Did he score a touchdown this week?
He did not score a touchdown this week. But you know who did? Chris Moore scored a touchdown this week.
I was just about to say that.
Don't ruin it.
I was just literally about to say, you know who did score a touchdown.
I got something for you, Professor. Just wait till we get there. TJ Yates is starting next week for the Texans at the Jags. Stay away. Stay far, far away from TJ Yates, I think. Hopkins, though, who has been good no matter who's throwing the ball. Against the Jags next week, guys, you got to start him, but where do you start him? Wide receiver 1, 2, or flex?
Flex for me. Maybe wide receiver 2. I do think you have to start him. I'm seeing more along the lines of, and I hate doing projections, but if I had to base it on what he's been doing, I would say more around 50 yards and a touchdown.
I mean, because it's TJ Yates, maybe that's accurate. But, man, I mean, like you said, it doesn't matter who's been thrown to him. He's still eating up the targets. Do you have the targets for this week, Chris, between Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins?
Antonio Brown, he had a lot. 18 targets.
Wow.
Jesus.
Wow.
I can hardly believe that. 18 targets, and then Hopkins had to be up there as well.
I gotta say, like 15, right?
Let me check. 16.
16.
Wow.
Yep, 16.
Because with that being said, I mean, I'm not going to do the math right here, but before those targets, I mean, they were only 4 apart. And then to the next guy, which would be Keenan Allen, there's about 30 target difference.
Right. And to be fair, TJ Yates threw 26 passes, and I think one of the touchdowns was to DeAndre Hopkins.
Right. I'm just saying, I mean, I know the Jags' defense is ferocious, and they've been really killing it, but I don't see how they can keep a guy like DeAndre Hopkins down.
And he could very well score in garbage time. You know, if they fall behind and they're just getting shut out, it's very possible you get some points from garbage time. for Hopkins. If anybody was going to get it, I think it would be him. Anderson kind of came back down to earth with nothing this week, but with this quarterback change, do you see them leaning on the tight end a little bit? Does Steven Anderson gain any value?
I can't say yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really hyping up on the Steven Anderson train last week. I was like, who?
Steven Anderson, he was a guy that Sunday morning you picked up because you had Ertz.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Steven Anderson. For most people, it was a situation like that.
Okay. Too bad you didn't pick up Trey Burton then.
Yeah, no kidding. I do want to take a second, though, and talk about Tom Savage, because I honestly don't know if this guy's ever going to play football again. It wasn't just a concussion. I'm not sure if you saw his hands twitching.
Yeah.
He was laying there on his back. That's the beginning of what looks like a seizure. And as someone who has generalized epilepsy, I know how scary that is. And that is certainly not just an ordinary concussion. I am very worried for Tom Savage's career. Not that, you know, he's had a great career, but as a person, as someone in the NFL who's making a career out of this, I don't know if he's going to be able to continue, because I think this is actually scarier than what it looked like.
Yeah.
I mean, and just to see that they put him back in there, I don't know what the protocol was. I mean, I know they checked him out, but you got to show, you know, I understand that the doctors may not be able to see from 30, 40 yards away, his hand shaking like that. Maybe they weren't near the video monitors or whatever, but they got to be showing video of the hit and what happens before sending somebody back on the field like that, even after an evaluation.
We hope he's okay, but
certainly
we'll see what happens next season. The Cowboys defeated the Giants. This was a must-win for them to remain in the hunt. They actually played pretty good. The Giants, that is, played pretty well this week. They looked like they were showing some effort, but Dallas exploded in the second half. Dak looked great. Great. So if you started Dak, you had faith in him coming back. Good for you. I was a little hesitant, but against the Giants,
good
I think you had
me.
To start him.
Good for me.
I played him too. But I played him in a league where I had a bye, which it kind of pisses me off. Like when your team has an amazing week, but you have a bye in the playoffs. So it's like, yeah, I'm happy I had a bye, but like, can't they save this for next week?
Nick, you mentioned you want to talk about Rod Smith. Rod Smith, Alfred Morris. Give me the breakdown on these two.
Yeah, I want to talk about Rod Smith because, listen, I mean, his stats, 5 for 113 and a touchdown, receiving, plus an 81-yard score. Oh, no, that was an 81-yard score, the big touchdown. So, I mean, his production came in really one big play. I'm not getting super excited about it. And listen, I mean, he was involved, but Alfred Morris was only so-so. But I'm just saying, my point is, I'm not going and chasing after these points. Rod Smith really hasn't been doing this all season, and I'm not buying that Rod Smith has taken over the job for Alfred Morris.
I don't either. Raiders next week, though, would you start Rod Smith or Alfred Morris or both or neither?
I would play Alf over Rod Smith.
Agreed. And most likely you have better options.
I would hope so.
Just also, Theo Riddick is very likely out there. I'd definitely grab Theo Riddick over Rod Smith, if he's on waivers.
Okay.
Agreed.
All right. On the Giants side, Manning looked pretty good in the short game, struggled on the downfield throws. The running back situation is what caught my eye. It looked like the new coaching situation put Wayne Gallman in the position to be the lead back. Do you think this continues against the Eagles and the Cardinals the next 2 weeks? Are we off the New Orleans Darkwood train? And if you're desperate, Gallman?
Nope.
No.
Not playing either guy. If I had to choose one, it would still be Darkwood.
Okay.
I do know that Gallman was more efficient, but I think they're going to have to, against the Eagles, they're going to have to grind, and I think Dark was a little bit better.
Okay.
Man, I feel bad for you guys if you have to rely on the Giants' backfield. I mean, because their backfield is just so terrible.
Yep.
It's awful.
It really has been since Ahmad Bradshaw and Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah. I mean, they got it. Well, it all starts with that offensive line. That's where it really starts.
Right.
Okay. All right. Enough of the Giants. Broncos. Wow. I didn't think anybody saw this one coming. The Broncos shut out the Jets 23-0. That Broncos defense came back strong. The Jets only had 6 first downs in this game with only 100 total yards. Part of it, I think, was McCown getting injured, and it looks like he's done for the season. So you're getting some Bryce Petty starting next week. But I'm a little concerned now with Robbie Anderson. And with Jermaine Kearse and with ASJ, they visit the Saints and then they play the Chargers, two explosive teams. This Jets team should be dead and finished. But Robbie Anderson has been a must-start every week, guys. You feel good about rolling him out there still, or is this just too much going wrong?
I still feel good about him. The main reason for that is that last year, when Bryce Petty came in, Robbie Anderson was getting targeted like crazy. So, he was just getting peppered with targets. Granted, he didn't do a whole lot with those, and he got a touchdown or two, and that was mainly because Bryce Petty wasn't very accurate. It had nothing to do with Robbie Anderson, but the opportunity is still there, so I think he just downgrades from wide receiver 2 to a flex.
Okay. I can see that. I mean, the Saints and the Chargers could both go up pretty quickly on this team, and yeah, there's some garbage time value there. I think that's going to be people's concern, though, with that quarterback change. Does that tank everybody? You're saying not so much. Nick, what'd you see on the Broncos side? Any improvements? Anybody you want to start the next couple of weeks? They get the Colts, so there's some value there. And Simeon, maybe, if you lost Wentz, would you start him next week?
Well, I'll say this much. I said my Cameron Brate call was pretty bad, but that was a league-wide call. And another one that I'll take credit for, a bad call, is the Jets' defense. I really thought they were going to show up against this lackluster Denver offense, and they proved me wrong. So there you go. I mean, but as far as the Broncos are concerned, yeah, I mean, you got your Demaryius Thomas you're going to throw out there at this point, and that's really about it. I can't trust anybody else.
Yeah, I agree. CJ Anderson, some value maybe next couple of weeks. Nope. As a flex?
No, he should have been already cut.
All right, let's move on to the Chargers. The hot Chargers beat the Redskins up. Rivers was really nice. In fact, he got benched for some garbage time after they just went up so much. The guy that I want to talk about is Tyrell Williams. Has he established himself as a flex play? He's been pretty good the past couple of weeks. Explosive week this time. What do you think?
I think if you're in a league where you have a lot of roster spots, so maybe three wide receivers and two flexes, where you're, starting a lot of different guys, I think he's an okay play, especially against Kansas City. I know they just basically shut down the Raiders, but Derek Carr was pretty terrible. Phillip Rivers is a lot better. Tyrell Williams, you're relying on a big play. It's a lot like DeSean Jackson, mm-hmm. but he does get those big plays. Now, granted, they're few and far between, but it's a risk I'm willing to take.
Tyrell Williams reminds me of like a DeSean Jackson of old. He's so boom or bust. I think if you have the bench space, you should have him. And in a deeper league, it's okay to start him. But I can't sit here and recommend that he's going to be a great start coming up this week.
I'm probably on the outside. I think the Chargers' run defense is good. You said not so much. But they did limit P. Ryan to only 45 yards on 17 carries, which is a significant workload. You think they can stop the Chiefs next week? That's my concern. This all comes back to my concern about Kareem Hunt. I think this defense is legit. But what do you see? What do you guys think about this defense next week?
Hunt's an RB1 next week.
I say Hunt is a high-end RB2.
All right.
So you're saying maybe around top 15.
Yeah, I can't sit here and say that we're going to see the same Kareem Hunt we saw this week. Just because, again, I mean, I don't know if this is what we saw was offense got figured out for the Chiefs. Because, we've seen the offense now for the last 2 weeks finally putting up points, but it was either both approaches were pretty one-dimensional to me. It was either we throw the ball the whole time because we're from behind, or we're ahead, so we're going to run the ball. And I don't think this is a game necessarily that they're going to be ahead playing the Chargers.
Right.
So if anything, I think this is going to be a big passing game like we saw against the Jets.
That is why I think the Chargers defense is a must start the next 2 weeks. We've been talking about them as defensive.
I wouldn't start the Chargers this week.
I certainly would. I certainly would.
No.
They could go up big.
Not in Arrowhead.
Stadium doesn't matter to me. If they go up big early on, the Chiefs are going to struggle. They got all this unwarranted confidence from beating up on a crappy Oakland team. I have a feeling they're going to fall apart this week. I love this defense the next 2 weeks. The Chiefs and the Jets, I'm starting them all the way out. The Redskins, though, I'm not feeling good about. They got a couple of tough defensive matchups with Arizona and Denver on the docket. And we see this wide receiver core just kind of fall apart. The big question, I guess, is Cousins. Chris, last week you said you're starting him. You feel good about him. This was a rough game. The offensive line can't get right. You still feel good about Cousins?
Yeah, I still think he – unless you have two top 10 quarterbacks that you're streaming between the two, I still think he's an every week start.
Yeah, I mean, at this point with the way the quarterback situation looks, you really don't have many other options.
Okay. I don't think you can expect a lot from him, but sort of mid-range numbers maybe.
You're hoping to walk away with a Kirk Cousins game like somewhere around probably about 16, 18 points.
What about Matt Ryan? Maybe like Matt Ryan, like Matt Ryan versus Kirk Cousins.
I think I'm going with Kirk Cousins still.
Oh man, this is a tough one. Could I do Ryan week 16 and Cousins this week against the Cardinals?
Sure, why not? Okay, but I mean that helps. That helps. Yeah. All right, the big one: the Eagles 43, the Rams 35. But Wentz out for the season. Need replacements. Foles is coming in. What does Nick Foles do to this offense, guys?
Seven touchdowns. That's what Nick Foles does for offense.
No, seriously. Ajayi led the team in rushing this week in terms of workload, 15 carries. So is this the sign that they're moving into that, like, let's get this guy rolling for the rest of the season, and now with Foles throwing, is it going to be more running? Or, I mean, how do you feel about the rest of the players on this team now?
I was going to say I do like Ajayi if Wentz were still in, because I think they're going to be up by a lot against the Giants and the Raiders. But with Foles, I think everybody takes a hit. I still think you have to start Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey, but I don't know. I'm not excited about this. Obviously, you're not excited when one of the best quarterbacks in fantasy gets injured, or really when anyone gets injured. But it's this is a tough one. I think Jeffrey and Ertz are the only two guys that you can keep playing.
Yeah, just about everybody takes a hit with Wentz out. They're not going to be the explosive score all over you type of offense that they've been. I think if anything, the Eagles are going to try and change the game script of what they've been doing a bit, just so that they can try and manage games and not lose them.
Okay. Here's the question that I think we're going to get a lot of. Because that team is just looking so good, it wasn't 100% Carson Wentz that was winning games. That team is good. So right. Is Foles coming in? I think he has value just being part of a good team. I don't think he kills the team, but is he somebody you want to add on waivers if you're a Wentz owner, or are you still going after other guys like Garoppolo or a Bortles or, you know, a Winston possibly? You still like, you got to feel okay about Foles in a good team, right? Especially with these matchups of Giants and the Raiders.
I would play Foles over Bortles.
Oh yeah, that's out without question. I think you could stash Foles, and I think there are certain guys you could definitely start Foles over. I'm just saying, I think they're going to heavily rely more on their defense than they've had to with Wentz in there, because their defense has also been playing well, but you really don't notice that because Carson Wentz was always scoring a ton of points.
Right.
But the defense is playing well. I mean, when you talked about J.J. 2 earlier, I don't like J.J., but I could see a little more of an increased use in the run game, just so, like I said, Foles could just manage the game and make sure that they don't lose.
Okay. On the Rams side, I don't think there's a lot of talk about except for Robert Woods. Have you guys heard anything about him coming back? Are we still like week to week, day to day on him?
Still week to week. But Todd Gurley is worth talking about. 96 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I mean,
yeah, great game.
Yeah.
You're not going to sit him.
No, nobody was ever thinking that. I don't even think, even against the Seahawks and the Titans and on the road, I don't think you can sit Todd Gurley.
You just said there's no one worth talking about.
I mean, in terms of like waiver value, like Robert Woods might have been dropped.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, he might be out there.
If Gurley's on your waiver wire, go pick him up.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you one thing. In regards to this week, I'm not excited about starting Jared Goff.
Really? Why not?
Well, because last time they played the Seahawks, he didn't have a great game.
Yeah, but the Seahawks aren't the same Seahawks.
This is in Seattle, too, though.
It's in Seattle as well, yeah. That's another thing that kind of scares me.
Yeah, but Blake Bortles just put up 2 touchdowns and over 250 yards on him.
This is true, but I don't know. I'm not loving Goff's matchup. They generally, both teams play each other really tough. That's the other issue. This is not a high-scoring affair between these two teams.
Now, if Goff got 199 for 2 touchdowns next week, would you be happy?
I think I'd be content.
Okay.
But I certainly would be like, I'd love to have a better option. Like, for example, I'll give you an example since I'm facing this situation this week. I have Jared Goff, but I see Cam Newton's on the waiver. I'm thinking of picking up Cam Newton and starting him against the Packers.
I would do that.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
I
think what you got this week, he can do against the Seahawks with maybe a couple turnovers. I think he can do about 202 again.
Which would be about, 15 points probably?
Yeah, 14, 15, somewhere around in there.
Okay. Yeah, which is okay, but like I said, I mean, this is playoffs. You want to try and get the most points as possible.
It's true.
Right, absolutely.
That's true. All right, Cardinals and Titans. This was just a yucky game to watch. The Titans, I don't know how they're 8-5 right now, but they are. Mariota got hit in the leg, so he didn't do a lot of running, which usually opens up that offense. So you saw just everybody could just kind of stunk. They play the 49ers. I know the matchup is good, but for me, the trust is gone with all offensive players on this team.
I think so, too. Not Rashard Matthews.
And not Delanie Walker, either.
Yeah, Walker and Matthews, but Decker, Davis, Murray, Henry. Yeah.
Yeah, he could fade all those guys.
Okay.
But Delanie Walker has been their, like, constant beacon, in my opinion.
Yep, still had 9 targets.
That's true.
Right.
All right, I'll buy that. On the Cardinals side, though, this team, even though it seems like they're out of it, they don't want to stop playing. Like, they're still playing hard, that defense especially. And Gabbert is a guy that people might look at playing against the Redskins, which is a team that isn't playing well, whose secondary got torched last week, or this week, I should say. Is Gabbert a possible put-in for the Wentz owners, matchup-based? What do you think? Is he safe?
I'd play him over Foles.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Talk to me about that.
Great matchup. Larry Fitzgerald. That's it.
Okay.
Listen to those answers. Oh, God. Blame Gabbers.
I know.
The name itself is just so gross.
It sounds right, dirty. Yeah, but...
But at the same time, I mean, you guys might think I'm crazy, but this might be another guy I would trust over Aaron Rodgers this week.
Or Goff? Like, okay, would you trust him over Goff against Seahawks since you were down on him?
No.
Jeez. I mean, I don't know. The matchup is so good, though, for him. It might be. It really might be. I don't know. After seeing, though, what Jaguars did do, I mean, it does give me a little bit like a... But just knowing... I don't know. It fits tough. I think when it boils down to it, I don't think I could pull the trigger on Gabbert over Goff, but I wouldn't be upset if somebody did that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you got to start Fitz, everybody else. Kerwin Williams got 20 carries, so you got full workload. If he's the starter for the rest of the season, is he worth a flex spot?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's earned that if Adrian Peterson's out.
Just workload alone. I mean, could
workload
do something.
Alone, yep.
Okay.
Right. I mean, with the workload and if you're limited in your options for running back, I mean, this is a guy you just have to go along with, and that's it. That's all there is to it.
Like, he would probably be in the conversation for me with, like, Doug Martin as a flex option, where I might consider him over Doug Martin, maybe, with the matchup and everything. It's possible. I could see him in there.
Yeah, I think you could do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those Seahawks. Gave up 30 points to the high-flying Jaguars, and they were already suffering from injuries. Now, they had Michael Bennett had a dirty hit during the kneel downs, which was gross. Sheldon Richardson got ejected because there was a fight. Quentin Jefferson was about to fight with some fans.
Ron Artest, man.
This defense looks like they lost their mind. This is concerning in terms of the defense that people are starting week in and week out. Plus, you've got the Rams, and if they're playing this, like, if they're playing angry, like Max has said before, when a team is playing on tilt, they play sloppy. If this defense doesn't have its head in the game, I'm feeling okay about the Rams players next week, and I'm kind of a little bit worried about starting their defense. Based on injuries and based on this behavior, it looks like they're not together. They're not focused. I don't know, dude.
Concern, yes, but I'm still playing them.
Okay.
Agreed.
Giving up.
Yep. Do you know what other fan base was throwing stuff on the field this week? Bills fans were throwing snowballs onto the field.
Bills fans didn't even need to make a snowball. They just swing their arm through the air and they just grab enough snow on the overhand to just create
it. Just sort of like a like like a trebuchet, just slings it out there.
A trebuchet, yes, exactly. Not a catapult, a trebuchet. Well,
no, because it's because you know your arm moves and it's all in the wrist and everything. So it's more like a trebuchet than just a straight catapult.
Okay, Lord of the Rings. Good reference there. Bortles was another guy. Dude's looked pretty good the last two games, and I don't know, dude. Against the Texans, I might start him if I lost Wentz. He's in the conversation. What do you think?
I'd play Gabbard over Bortles.
Okay. All right.
Hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, listen, just because the guy had a good game doesn't mean I'm going to start saying, oh, well, look at this offense. It really got it pulled together here.
You trust D.D. Westbrook, though, yet? I mean, he's put together a couple.
Who?
D.D. Westbrook?
I know. He cut out for me. I didn't really hear what he said. But, I mean, I'd flex him, but I'm not going to get excited that I have to flex D.D. Westbrook.
I'd rather play Marquise Lee still.
Obviously.
Yeah, of the two, Marquise Lee.
All right. Just looking at their matchups, they got the Texans and 49ers. Looks like a nice, could put up some points.
I'll say this. I mean, if Blake Bortles puts together another nice game against the Texans, I'm not going to sit here and say, don't go out and grab Blake Bortles if you need somebody to stream against the 49ers.
Yeah, okay. So maybe like a week 16 kind of streamer for the Wentz guys.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Russell Wilson, Lockett, Baldwin, Richardson, they got touchdowns. What happened? Jimmy Graham this week got you zero. What the heck happened?
I don't know, because he's an auto start every week.
Yep.
Yeah, I really think that the Jaguars game scripted for Jimmy Graham and took him out of the game with their pretty elite secondary.
But you're not benching him.
That was shocking.
But you're not benching him.
Mm-hmm.
You're still starting him.
Nope. No, you can't bench him.
Okay.
It's just, you know, hopefully you didn't get eliminated from playoffs because of Jimmy Graham. And you're in it next week. You should be able to bounce back.
If you did, send him an angry tweet. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. They hate that. They hate that. Don't do it.
Send an angry tweet to the Jaguars defense.
Send an angry tweet to Professor Chris, because I love putting those together. When he reads those back on Mock Mental Mondays next season. Mike Davis.
Oh, my God. That one guy on Sleeperbot, man. He was just taking it to a new extreme. I took several screenshots of it. It was...
Oh, yeah.
What was this now?
There was a guy on Sleeperbot.
Some guy who... It was from last season. For some reason, he thinks... Because I'm an analyst on Sleeperbot, not a moderator. He thinks I banned him. And I didn't, because I don't have that power to ban people on the app. But he was convinced that it was me, and he was asking around for Seymour SW, which was my username before I changed it to Professor Chris. And I got tagged in it by a bunch of people, and he was just going off. And it was some of the most vulgar stuff that I think I've ever read online. And then I heard myself reading it on video or on audio, and I was like, okay, that's actually pretty funny.
Guys, we will do a best of show at the end of the season. That will definitely be a clip in there. So don't stop tuning in once the season ends, because we do a couple of shows at the end. We do an award show and we do a best of show. So those are always fun. Mike Davis was the guy. We were talking about him on the Blitz. Played well when he was in. Carroll said he looked good. Left the game with an injury. They got the Rams and Cowboys next week. If Davis is the shortcut guy, you feel okay about starting him or what?
Oh, were these bruised ribs or fractured ribs?
I think they were just bruised. I'm not sure.
Then yes, I feel okay about starting.
Okay. I feel okay about starting, but I thought I heard some news recently that Chris Carson could actually come back soon.
Yep, that's true.
Possibly, yeah. So if Carson's on waivers, he's a nice little stash, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would pick him up. Carroll loved him early in the season, and I mean, I don't know if he's really going to be back to help you. I mean, he would literally have to come back this week or next week, really, to be worth anything. Maybe for the people who go to week 17 might be able to use him, but that's about. I almost expect him really not to be back for fantasy. I think he'll be back maybe for their playoffs.
And finally, the last game, Steelers 39, Ravens 38, some good old-fashioned AFC North football in December was this one. And we have actually a little soundbite here.
Three-man rush, Flacco going to the end zone, has a man open, and it's hauled in by Chris Moore for the touchdown. So Chris Moore gets free, it's a 30-yard touchdown pass.
Congratulations for your namesake, Ooh. Professor Chris.
Thank you. It was good to finally get my first touchdown in the NFL. I'm glad we were able to talk about it.
That's not your first, buddy. That's not your first.
Well, a first touchdown this season, isn't it?
Nope. He had a touchdown.
I don't know. You know what?
How do you not remember your own touchdowns?
Because I just have such a great career of all of these touchdowns that it's just hard to keep track of.
First primetime touchdown for Chris Moore, and that guy has been slowly working his way into the scene, and it was nice to see him get it. Now, okay, so the Ravens put up a lot of points, which I don't think people expect from them. I'm concerned that Buck Allen vultured a couple of touchdowns, but should I be concerned about Alex Collins' workload going forward, or is he good to go? He plays the Browns and the Colts, so juicy, juicy matchups for Alex Collins. He's good to go, right?
Yeah, I posted something on Twitter yesterday that said, it is time for me to start believing in Alex Collins. 5 touchdowns in the last 4 weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, he's been consistent.
Cleveland and Indy, I think I'm going to start going Collins.
Okay. Wallace, too, right? Because I think Macklin has fallen off. Chris, you said you didn't have a lot of faith in him, though you love the guy. But Wallace has been kind of proven that he is the number one target there. You're starting him next 2 weeks, right?
Nope. Still not playing him, but he is the number one target.
Not playing him. Okay. Nick, agree with this?
No. I definitely think you can flex him out there. I think Chris must just have a deep hatred for Wallace, or he's just jealous that Wallace is targeted more than him in the passing game.
You know what? I've had 3 catches each of the last 3 weeks. So
hey, you've had 30
up.
Targets this season, man. I'm looking at
coming
it up.
Up.
You've had 30 targets this season. You're on
you know what? We need to get him on the show.
Oh, my God. That'd be great. It'd be better than awesome. Southern Chris. It'd be Sleeper Wire Chris and a great debate. Sleeper Wire Chris versus NFL Chris.
If you're just now tuning in, and you didn't know I am Chris Moore as well. So
yeah, the wide receiver for the Ravens.
Yep.
I thought your legal first name was Professor. I thought you had officially changed that, but
I filed the paperwork, but it hasn't gone through yet.
Okay. All right. We're waiting on that. On the Steelers side, I mean, Roethlisberger threw the ball 66 times, which made Jesse James look pretty good. 10 out of 12 for 97. People are going to be looking at that stat line saying, oh my God, I got to add Jesse James. True or not true?
Not true.
Not true.
All right, good. I felt the same way. But other than the Steelers' offense, without Shazier, they gave up 38 points to the Ravens. I don't feel good about starting the Steelers' offense, especially against the Pats, but I'm a little concerned about the Texans. Feel the same way?
You mean the defense?
The defense, yes.
I'm concerned. Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, especially first off, you didn't feel confident that the New England Patriots was going to be a good offense to start the Pitt Steelers defense against anyway. And then who was their last matchup of the year?
At the Texans.
Texans may be that matchup where you're like, okay, I could put the Steelers defense in, maybe. But, okay. You know, it wasn't definitely going to be against the Patriots.
That is it for the recaps, guys. We're going to take 2 minutes here to talk about quarterbacks because of the Wentz thing, so I'm going to jump into that right now. Professor Chris and Nick, I want to just go over these quarterbacks one more time because I think this is going to be the major issue for people that lost Carson Wentz. We talked about a lot of these guys, touched on people like Nick Foles, Bortles. So let's just go through these names real quick. Tell me who you feel good about. Maybe give me like your top 2 or 3 out of these names. So we got Nick Foles, obviously, Bortles, Garoppolo, people like Flacco. You might be able to get a Gabbert off the waiver wire. Maybe Winston, Manning, Brissett, Dalton. Any of those guys jump out at you that you say, okay, I feel good about starting them if I lost Wentz?
Winston, Garoppolo, and Brissett.
For me, I mean, Winston, Garoppolo definitely feel better about than the others. And then as a last resort, I suppose Blaine Gabbert.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. That's very true. Colts do have a couple tough matchups. They've got Denver and Baltimore, but I do still feel better about Brissett than I do Gabbert.
I don't know how you could start Brissett after what the Broncos did to the Jets, and I think the Colts are pretty on pace with what the Jets are offensively. Like,
yeah, it'll be tough, but if you're in this position, I mean, none of these are great options.
No.
I would consider Eli over Brissett.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah. Eli's not terrible. I mean, they're playing the Eagles, who are without Wentz now, but at the same time, Eagles defense still pretty good. So
what if I threw Kaiser, Simeon, and Bryce Petty into the mix? Any of those guys pop out?
Nope, doesn't change a thing.
Okay,
no, I can't. I mean, almost Simeon, but really, no, I can't.
Okay. All right. Well, it's going to be a tough one this week. If you lost Wentz, you're going to have to find some quarterback help. It might be one of those situations where you look at the schedule and say, I'm going to start this guy in 15 and grab this guy for 16. So it's time to stock up on matchup potential if that's the case. But that is it for the show today. Don't forget, guys, head over to sleeperwire.com for all our rankings, our podcasts. You could submit questions through the site to our email. We answer those for you directly, so you can send us all kind of details on who's on your waiver wire, who you're looking to pick up and drop. And also, on our website, you can support our cause. Our buddy Rob is suffering from chronic Lyme disease. The reason we do this show is to generate awareness and raise money for his treatments. They're expensive, and we want to close out the season strong. So if we helped you at all this season, gave you some good tips, sleepers, gave you help on the blitz, the mail sack, anything like that, give us a donation to help out Rob's cause. You can find that on the website. Just click on the link, Our Cause. And we also have a podcast that Nick did with Rob's dad and a woman from the the Lyme Disease Coalition.
It was her name was Judith Week, Yes. She was from the Lyme Disease United Coalition.
Yeah,
please, guys, go listen to that episode. It was a fantastic episode. I'm very proud of that and what we did with Rob's dad and her, because it was just so informative and really tells you the full story of Rob, for those who don't know it.
Yep, and it's right there on the homepage. You can find it, sleeperwire.com. And I'm going to challenge our listeners and fans. If you guys win your fantasy championships in your money league, do a really nice thing for us. Give us like 10%. 10% of your winnings as a donation. That would be so cool, and that would really push us towards that goal. It's, what, going to be 10, 20 bucks at the most. But, man, we would love that. All right, that is it for the show. The 12 champions of the Sleeper Wire are online all the time, ready to help you out. Join the Sleeper Wire channel on the Sleeperbot app, and you can find us at SW Nick, at Professor Chris, at SW Steve, or just talk to at Sleeper Wire. We're also on Twitter at Sleeper Wire Show, at Sleeper Wire Nick, and at Seymour Sleeper Wire. Tune in Wednesday for the live mail sack. We take your questions and calls to get you ready for the week 15. Show starts at 7:30 Eastern. You can listen on sleepwire.com. Look for the Mixler player on the homepage. Professor Chris and Nick, thank you for being on the show. Good luck this
Thanks
week.
For having us.
Good luck to you too.
Yep, good luck. Thanks for having us.
Peace.
From the Sleeper Wire Fantasy Football Show will help you win your fantasy football championship. Sleeper Wire, Friday 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Sleeper Wire.